Welcome to We Chat Divorce, hosted by Karen Chalou, Legal Liaison, and Catherine Shanahan, CDFA. Each episode, we sit down with divorce professionals and industry experts to provide insights and frank discussions about real people, real situations, and real divorce to help you achieve your best life post-divorce. This episode of We Chat Divorce is brought to you by My Divorce Solution, offering divorce financial planning so clients can secure the divorce settlement they deserve. Visit mydivorcesolution.com to request access. Welcome to We Chat Divorce. Catherine and I welcome Karen Covey, a divorce coach, lawyer, mediator, speaker, and author. Wow. Our episode today is all about how to divorce like a CEO, how to take charge to optimize the outcome of your divorce. In this episode, we will discuss the importance of separating from your emotions, getting prepared, creating a team, and developing strategies so that you can navigate your divorce with less conflict, less expense, and less damage to you and your family. Welcome, Karen.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
We're so excited to have you. And this podcast episode is going to be a little unique because we have two Karens. So we'll just have fun with that. How about that?
So it works for me.
If one Karen gets a good rap, does it? Now we're gonna have two today. I'm in trouble. I probably won't even talk. I'll let the two of you talk.
Oh my gosh. How many times, Karen Covey, do you introduce yourself and someone says, "I'm so sorry," once you say your name?
That never used to be a thing. I don't know why Karens get such a bad rap. I don't think it's well deserved.
I do not either. I proudly say my name. I'm not gonna stop. All right, let's meet Karen Covey. Karen is the author of When Happily Ever After Ends, How to Survive Your Divorce Emotionally, Financially, and Legally. She's also the creator of the online divorce program, The Divorce Roadmap 2.0, and the host of the podcast, Off the Fence. You can connect with Karen on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube. Welcome again, Karen, and we look forward to our discussion today.
I can't wait to dive in.
Well, first, we always like to hear your story. How did you get to where you are today and doing the great work you're doing?
So that is a long story, but the short version is that when I went to law school, I went to be a trial lawyer. I didn't understand why anyone else would want to go to law school unless you wanted to be a trial lawyer. It made perfect sense to me. So I kept coming out of law school. I got a job with a major Chicago law firm and I tried jury trials. Left there after a while and went to the Cook County State's Attorney's Office, where I was the bureau chief. So I supervised a bureau of 100 lawyers-ish. And then after I did that for a couple of years, I said, okay, time to hang out my shingle and go do this on my own. So I opened my own law office and I said to everybody I knew, I will take any kind of case there is except divorce. And you know what they say, when you make plans, God or the universe or whatever you call the power that is laughs. All I know is someone was laughing at me because client after client kept coming in and saying, hey, Karen, can you help me with my divorce? Karen, do you know a good divorce lawyer? Karen, I've got this problem. And literally, I threw up my hands. I was sitting in my office. I looked at this guy and I said, okay, I'll do divorce. And I've never looked back since. But when I got to divorce court, because I had a decade of experience in all different kinds of areas of law before I walked in the door, like I looked around and I said, this makes no sense. I mean, people were in there and, you know, it makes sense or it might make sense when you're at a trial and you've got the head of a major corporation that made a drug that kills babies or something, right? When you're ripping their face off in cross-examination, yeah, go for it. But when it's your spouse and you have to sit next to them at your kid's soccer game that night, like there's no universe in which that made sense to me, right? So I kept looking for the better way. And that's why I became a mediator and an arbitrator and a collaborative divorce professional. And ultimately went into coaching because I saw the gap between the way people think the divorce system works and the way it really works, what people think their lawyer is going to do and what their lawyer is really going to do. So I stepped into that gap to solve that problem so that people could get through the end of, you know, get to the end of their divorce and be in a better place instead of a worse one.
Boy, we could do a podcast on that, just what people think is going to happen with attorneys and what is not going to happen, and even the process. But really, it starts right up there at the top of the biggest complaint we get when people come who have attorneys. Their attorneys are not doing what they think they're supposed to do. And unfortunately for the attorneys, they're getting bad raps too, because they shouldn't be doing the financial clarity piece, which is what we do anyway, because that's not what they're trained to do.
100%. I mean, I'm a firm believer that to get through a divorce well, or as well as you can possibly do it, it takes a team. And you need people, each professionals, each working in their own lane of expertise, so that you can create the best experience possible and end up with the best result possible, which is, at the end of the day, what most people really want.
Yeah, and you're spending your dollars in the right place when you have that team. You know what you're getting from each and every person.
So true. I was just speaking with a lawyer recently about the discovery process in divorce, and we will get to the CEO, getting to the CEO of your divorce, but he made a very interesting statement. He said, you know, divorce is the one area of law where people spend an inordinate amount of money obtaining their own records. You know, like in most civil litigation, you need documents from the other side because you don't have access. You have no knowledge, right? To your point about that lawsuit you just talked about. But in family law, you're really trying to obtain your own information that just happens not to be in your control. But the litigation system is set up as a one-stop shop, and this is just how you obtain records. And so it becomes very unfair to the families.
There is nothing fair about divorce. I mean, if you go in expecting something to be fair, you are going to be disappointed, because it's just, it's not. And part of the problem, and I can say this, the legal system gets a bit of a bad rap. I mean, yes, in some ways, it still has a long way to go, and it's a little bit old-fashioned, backwards, arcane, whatever you want to call it. But at the same time, divorce is a family problem. It's a family system that's getting reconfigured and rearranged, right? So you're taking what is essentially a relationship and social problem and cramming it into a legal system and expecting to get a decision and a result that the system was never designed to do, right? And so fundamentally, the way that we handle divorce in this country, in my humble opinion, leaves a lot to be desired, simply because the system wasn't designed to do what most people need it to do.
Absolutely. And that's why it's important that people learn and go through the exercise of becoming the CEO, essentially, of their divorce. So let's talk about that. I think just approaching the divorce process, I think it's important that people learn to separate their emotions and get into a mindset of a transaction. I think that's so important. And you, as a divorce coach now, probably deal with that a lot.
100%. And, you know, divorce, it can be overwhelming, especially when you don't understand how the system works and you don't know what to expect, right? So in the divorce roadmap program that I created, I sat down and I said, okay, how do I make sense of something for someone who doesn't have a legal background? And I created a 10-step framework that takes you from the beginning to the end of your divorce. And in the very beginning, one of the first steps is deal with how you feel, right? If you don't deal with your emotions, then you can't think clearly. I mean, this isn't me making it up. This is neuroscience, right? When you're stressed out and you're angry or you're emotional, whatever the negative emotion is, your stress hormones flood your brain. You become biologically incapable of thinking as clearly as you could if otherwise, you know, if you were calmed down a little bit. So dealing with your emotions is always going to be step number one. And the challenge is most people want to deal with their spouse's emotions. They want to get their spouse to change. and that never works. I mean, it's a great idea. It just doesn't work because you can't control your spouse. The only one that you can control is yourself. And it starts with getting your head wrapped around your emotions, separating them as best you can. And let's be honest, nobody's a robot here, right? So of course your emotions are going to bleed into your decision-making, your divorce process. But to the extent that you can control them and keep them out and keep your head clear to think, you're going to do better. I mean, that's just, it's just kind of a biological fact of how you can get through this and do better. I mean, you hear people say all the time that divorce is a business decision. And fundamentally it is, except that you've still got all this emotional stuff too. You can't ignore it. You can't deny it. But if you deal with that first, now you're in a position to do a better job in your divorce.
Yeah. So, well, you know, we deal with the financial piece of getting people prepared, making sure they come out of the fog about the financial ramifications, or basically just getting prepared financially so you have that clarity. But in doing that work, you know, we often tell our clients to go to a coach at this point, go talk about your emotions at this point. We'll help you keep staying with the financial documentation collection and then assessing of all of that. But you can always work on your emotions throughout the whole process, and you don't need to do that with your attorney. And that's where people's fees go crazy. So that's what I love about when you're coaching. You can help them through that emotional piece of it because it is really important. It just doesn't go away tomorrow. I mean, it takes time to unravel those feelings.
Yeah, it really does. And there's a distinction though between coaching and therapy. Like if you want to figure out how did I get into this mess and deal with the emotions, especially if there's any kind of mental health issue that's serious involved, like divorce can trigger depression, it can trigger anxiety, it can trigger a host of things that you really need a therapist to deal with. However, a coach can also help you manage those emotions in the process and figure out, okay, here's where I'm at, kind of messy. This is where I want to go. That looks really good. How do I deal with my emotions enough to get the clarity to get to where I want to go so that at the end of your divorce, you're not wondering, what just happened to me and how did I end up here, right?
That's so true, Karen. And I believe a high percentage of people approaching or going through the divorce process continually talk to each other and everybody else about what they're going to say to the judge, right? I'm going to tell the judge this and I'm going to tell the judge that. And they think that that's going to give them some leverage or latitude. But can you explain to our audience what the judge's role is in the first place relative to anybody's behavior?
Okay. A judge has one job and one job only, to make decisions, right? So when you and your spouse can't decide on whatever the issue is, and it is a legally relevant issue, then you can put that issue to the judge and the judge will decide it for you. The challenge is that most people never get to the judge. 95% of all divorce cases are going to settle out of court, which means you're never going to get a chance to tell your story. And even if you are in court, maybe on a hearing or a pretrial conference or you're there for some reason and you feel like, okay, now is my chance to tell my story to the judge, I have to tell you, it's not going to happen the way you think it is. Courts have rules about what you can say, what you can't say, what's allowed into evidence. And if you have an attorney, most of the time, your attorney is going to speak for you. That's why they're there, because they know what's important and legally relevant and you don't, right? So I can pretty much tell anyone who thinks they're going to go to court and tell the judge their story, and the judge is going to look down and go, oh, I can't believe you had to deal with this for all this amount of time. Your spouse is terrible. Yes, you get everything. Your spouse gets nothing. Like, that never happens, ever.
I had to go to court, not during my divorce, but after my divorce, for something that wasn't written up well in my agreement. And I can remember, and listen, I'm in the industry, right? I'm sitting on the stand and I kept talking directly to my spouse. I was like, you know, this is not the truth. And the judge kept saying, ma'am, you cannot speak directly to yourself. And then I turned to the judge and I'm like, judge, would you like to look at the text messages on my phone? He's like, ma'am, you want to go through your attorney with this? Because logically, we're like, why would I need my attorney to talk to for me? I could talk to you directly. I could talk, but that's not the way the system's set up. You cannot. So you leave there very frustrated.
Yeah, no, you do leave there very frustrated. The system does not work the way people think it's going to work. And that's why educating yourself, even if you're a smart, educated, intelligent professional, business owner, whatever, doesn't matter, right? Unless you are educated in how this particular system works, you're not going to understand it. You're going to make mistakes. And a lot of the mistakes are things that you can't fix later on, right? So that's why it's so important to know going into the system, how does this work? What do I have to do to show up as my best self and to present my case in the best way possible? I will tell you, I've actually had many lawyers as clients, because even though they understand the court system, they've never been in the divorce system, and they're wise enough to understand that that's a handicap for them, that if they want to get through their divorce, you know, and get to where they want to be at the end, they need guidance and they need to talk to somebody who does understand the court system in the divorce courts.
That's so true. And so we say all of that to go back to the first step of what any person or couple needs to do, and that's to get prepared.
100%. That is a big part of what becoming the CEO of your divorce actually means. I mean, number one, it's getting a handle on your emotions. There are some CEOs that are like screamers and volatile and all that stuff. But when it comes time to make important decisions, they are crystal clear. And they are either emotions or somewhere else, and they're dealing with whatever the problem is from the most well-reasoned place they can. The next thing is they are prepared. You're not going to get any CEO walking into a major business deal when they don't have information about who the other participants in the deal are, what they want out of the deal, what the deal means. The same thing applies to your divorce. You have got to understand how the system works, and you have got to be prepared, right? And a lot of people, I know you deal with all the financial information. People have to know their numbers, period, full stop. And I know that's scary for a lot of people, especially if you weren't the person in the marriage that dealt with any of the finances, right? And a lot of people that I know, they get to the point where their marriage is falling apart and they want a divorce, and now they're beating themselves up going, oh, I wish I would have paid attention. I wish I would have known that. I'm smarter than that. I shouldn't have let my spouse handle all the numbers. And my advice to them is always exactly the same. It's like, look, don't beat yourself up. That's not helpful. And in every marriage, you divide and conquer. You don't have two people both doing the same things. You have one person taking some responsibilities and the other taking others. So it's okay. It doesn't matter if you didn't know your numbers up to this point, but now it's time to change that. Exactly. At least if you want to get through the system well.
Exactly. Because you can't walk out of there and have those regrets and then you let another professional take over for you. So you need that. So our space provides for them to get that clarity, right? They don't have to understand all the investments or all of that. They just have to understand what comprises their marital and non-marital estate, what their income and expenses are, their assets and their debts, and then go to your next advisor, your attorney or your mediator, because you don't want to keep your head in, what do they say? Keep your head, an ostrich keeps their heads in the sand, right?
Yeah.
An analogy. Yeah. You don't want to keep doing that for the rest of your life. You don't have to beat yourself up for not having the information to this date, but don't allow yourself to move through this process without the financial information.
100%. And what people don't realize is that to the extent that divorce has a silver lining, this can be one of those silver linings, right? Where you might not have understood what your financial picture was coming in, but once you get that skill set, once you do understand what's my present picture, now you can start also developing the skills to manage your money and manage your finances moving forward so that for the rest of your life, you will never be in the dark financially again. That's a huge plus. I mean, not that anyone wants to go through a divorce to get there, but if you've got to go through a divorce, you might as well get some benefits from it. And the service that you provide in helping people understand their finances so that they can manage them better for the rest of their life is invaluable.
I so agree. And I'm going to go to the flip side of that, because even if you were the financial manager of your family, it's a whole different ball game in the divorce world. You know, I know what we spend. I know I want this and I know I want that. Okay, so that's great on your balance sheet, right? But when you don't know the financial impact of that relative to how the court sees it or relative to the division of asset laws in your state, you could be making big mistakes that are going to leave you financially in a deficit. So we find that as well on both sides, whether you manage the money or you didn't, it's so important that you understand how it plays through the divorce system.
Exactly. And one aspect of that is super important is taxes, right? Because if you just look at numbers on a balance sheet, you say, okay, this is worth $100,000. That's worth $100,000. I'll take one, you take the other, it balances out. But if one of those $100,000 is in a retirement account that hasn't been taxed yet, and the other $100,000 is in a savings account that has been taxed already and it's post-tax dollars, that's not an equal trade, right? So people have to understand, how do taxes affect these numbers? How do they affect the investments so that you can make a really good deal on the back end? The worst thing is, and I've seen this happen to people, where they come out with a balance sheet that looks, they think, pretty good, except the numbers that are on the sheet are not the same as the numbers that hit their pocket. And so when they actually go to look at how much money do they have to work with, it is substantially less. You don't want to make that mistake.
We're seeing that a lot with homes now because, you know, it's a terrible real estate market to get divorced in. You know, so a lot of people are leaving with most of their assets just still held up in a house, which does not give you the cash flow. It's unfortunate, but, you know, it's just one of those time periods.
You know, and nothing will last forever, right? So the housing market is really tight right now. There's not a lot of inventory. Interest rates are high. In terms of divorce, this is just, it's a really bad situation for anyone who's getting divorced right now, but it's not going to last forever. Things will ease up again. I mean, we may never see interest rates where they were, but they'll be better, right? So it's just about figuring out, you can only deal with what exists right now. What is that? And how do you deal with it? And what are your options? And can you brainstorm creative options to resolve what you do with the house today or given this current circumstance? And maybe you dissolve a temporary situation now, and then, you know, in 2 years, you rethink it or you renegotiate. But all of that takes conscious effort now, and it takes an understanding of how everything works and an understanding of the risks and rewards for doing things this way, this way, or this way.
Your clients. So we have a lot of assessment calls that tell us, oh, we need to ask our attorney for permission. You know, we're not attorneys, right? We just do the financial exercise. Yeah. And it's the exercise they need. And then their attorneys come back and say, oh, they're going to do that for us. Or you don't need that. I can help you be financially clear. And they ask their attorneys for this permission for themselves to get financial clarity. It just dumbfounds me.
I think we're used to doing that. We're trained to do that, especially to the extent your clients are women. Women are trained to be nice, to get along, to, you know, respect authority. Well, we're all trained to do that, right? And so they go and they ask permission of their lawyer. But here's the thing. If your lawyer is doing it, first of all, that benefit that we just talked about of you can now take control for the rest of your life, that's gone because you haven't learned how to do it yet, right? And the second thing is going through an attorney is going to cost you a small fortune, right? Lawyers, it depends on where you live, but the going rate for most divorce lawyers starts at $300 an hour and goes up to $900 an hour, right? So if you want to pay that to a lawyer to do all this work for you, God bless. But there are better things that you can do with your money. And the other thing is too, and you are 100% right, most lawyers, unless they have a background in tax or accounting, don't have the depth of financial knowledge that an accountant or a financial advisor or someone who works with numbers and money all the time might have. Now, that's not to say that your lawyer doesn't understand these things. I mean, we all take courses. We take, you know, continuing education. Some lawyers know this stuff really well. Others don't. And the challenge for you as a consumer is, how do you know who's who, right? How do you know that the advice that you're getting is really the best advice? I always encourage people to speak with a financial advisor, to speak with somebody who can help them understand their own numbers. Now, if they don't want to do it, if they want to be the ostrich with their head buried in the sand, you know, there's nothing that I can do to change that. But when your head is buried in the sand, you don't see anything. And that can be a problem for you moving forward. So it's always better. That's why I tell people, you have to be the CEO. You have to keep your eyes and ears open. You have to be educated. You have to be prepared. And you have to take action to take control in your own divorce if you want to end up where it is that you want to end up instead of wherever you end up, right? I mean, in every state in the union, you can get divorced these days based on irreconcilable differences. So if someone files for divorce, at the end of the day, I can tell you, you will be divorced. But that's not the right question to ask. It's, where will you be and how long will it take you to get there? And what, you know, what position will you be in when you get there? Those are the questions you want to be asking yourself.
Well, that's also so true.
How do attorneys tell a client, sorry, Karen, if you're going to say something, but, you know, we see a lot of clients also who are sitting there and the attorneys negotiate something and say, well, we'll get the documents later to verify that number. How can you coach someone to actually even make a decision without verifying a number first?
Yeah, you, in a perfect world, you get all the information up front. In defense of lawyers, sometimes what they're dealing with is a client who's, because the client's not coached, their anxiety level is off the charts. And they just want an answer, right? And they want the answer because they want to give themselves some psychological comfort that they're going to be okay. So the attorney will say, well, you know, if the information is X, then your answer is, you know, your answer would probably be Y. The thing is, they're always going to couch their answer because they don't, until you do have hard information, you can't make those decisions. But the attorney is couching things six ways to Sunday to say, if this happens, and if this is true, and if this is true, and if this is true, then yeah, this would be your outcome. But the attorney is trying to lower the client's anxiety level. But what the client hears is, oh yeah, I just do that. Like, they don't hear all of the caveats, all of the conditions that have to be true in order for that to be the case. So it's a miscommunication, but it's based on them trying to, the attorney's got a different goal than what the client does, and nobody's talking about that.
Well, that's so true. That's step one, handling your emotions before you get to that spot. Mm-hmm.
Because yeah. Essentially, Karen, the attorney has to pivot with whatever the client wants. So if the client walks in and says, I want to keep the house, mm-hmm. and they haven't prepared, but today they want to keep the house and tomorrow they want something else and tomorrow they want something else. The attorney, even though you do set out those caveats, you still have to pivot to what your client wants. And so going back to the role of a, you know, you're a CEO of your divorce, you are the client. And that is a responsibility of saying, I know what I want and I know why I want it. And I know the impact of this decision. And so typically, in my experience, you don't see CEOs asking permission from one advisor to say, can I hire this other advisor? Right.
Right.
Yeah. And so I know I've worked in law firms for most of my life and I'm married to an attorney. My children are attorneys. They all attorneys are way up here. They're almost in God status, right? If you have an Esquire after your name, you speak the truth at all times, and whatever you say is fact without question. And so that may or may not be true. I'm not disputing that. But I'm also saying, as a client, it's important that you come to the table informed so that you know to ask the questions in the first place to get the answer that's most beneficial to you.
Absolutely right. I mean, it's all about questions. And don't forget what attorneys do for a living. We go to court, or at least divorce attorneys, we go to court, and it is our job to persuade the judge that our argument is right and the other side is wrong, because we want the judge to rule in our favor or in our client's favor. So we are used to talking with authority, right? You don't persuade anyone by saying, oh, maybe, sort of, could I, is it okay if I, no, you're not going to persuade anybody that way. You go in there, you go, judge, this is the way it is, and this is why you should rule for my client. And when you're used to talking with authority, those, you know, the people who hear you, if they don't get that that's just how lawyers talk, they're going to think that you are 100% right and you know everything. And the truth is, even if you're not sure, you're going to say it like you are sure so that you persuade the judge. You know, I mean, you're not going to say anything that's not true, but it's the way that attorneys talk, right? I've had that happen with my kids sometime too, where, you know, without even thinking, you click into lawyer mode, right? And then you've got your child looking at you going, mom, okay, sorry, you know, because that's just the way we do. That's what we're paid to do. But from a client's perspective, that can be intimidating, and you can make assumptions that aren't necessarily correct about what the lawyer does or doesn't know or does or doesn't do.
That's so great. And so then that can lead us into our next line item of creating a team. So once you get prepared and you got it, you know what you have, you know what it means to you, you've got, you know, your options, you're right there ready to go. Now you may have to obviously develop a team a little bit sooner than that, but it does set the stage for creating the team. And a lot of people on the intake of our calls, they'll say, can you refer me to an attorney or a mediator? And I'm thinking, well, first of all, we don't know the nuances of your case. We don't know where the hiccups are. We don't know if you're collaborative, mediative, or you need a litigator. We don't know these things. So that will be the premise on which you will look for attorneys, right? So can you talk a little bit about that? Because I think most people just default to what their friends, family, and anyone else recommends.
You know, what you said is absolute gold. Most people pick a lawyer however they pick one. Like, they'll go on the internet, they ask friends and family, you know, which is better than most times than just, you know, picking blindly off the internet. But they go to a lawyer and they think that that's the first thing that they should do. And that, you know, after that, they'll figure everything else out. The problem is there are very different skill sets that are involved in trying a case or mediating a case. And collaborative divorce is a whole other thing. There are so many ways to get divorced. And people think that when they go to the divorce lawyer will tell them what they need to do. And the divorce lawyer will. But what the divorce lawyer is telling them is not what would be best for them, but what the lawyer does. You go to a litigator, they're going to say, I will fight for your rights. I will get you what you need in court. You go to the mediator, they're going to say, we'll work things out. You know, the lawyer who's more mediative. The collaborative professional is going to sell you on collaborative. What the client doesn't realize is the lawyer is telling them what the lawyer is most comfortable doing, not necessarily what's best for them, right? There are some lawyers who do it all and will tell you, you know, what the various choices are. But most of the time, the lawyer steers you into the process that the lawyer is most comfortable with. The better way to do this is to try to figure out yourself, either with coaching or education or however you can do it, to try to figure out, how do I want to do this, right? What's my first choice, right? Which means you have to understand what the choices are. And then when you say, okay, I want to stay amicable to the extent that I can, Great. Now you go to an attorney who can get you through divorce that way. The attorney who is comfortable representing you through mediation. The attorney who's comfortable representing you in a collaborative divorce. You pick the process, then match the lawyer to the process, not the other way around.
That's so true. And then the next layer of that is, you know, do you need a family lawyer who's very proficient in parenting and custody or high net worth, real estate, you know, executive compensation, and the list goes on and on. And so that's even a further step to take that people a lot of times don't understand until they're way deep into the relationship.
Right. And, you know, part of it for most people, you know, their situation isn't as unique as they would like to think. If you've got a house, a retirement car, a retirement account, a couple of kids, that's it. It's pretty straightforward. And pretty much any divorce lawyer who's competent can deal with that, right? But if you've got, like you said, the high net worth person whose investment scheme is very, very complicated, you're not going to be well served to go to a lawyer who doesn't understand high finance, right? You've got to get a lawyer who's got experience in a high net worth divorce. And the same thing, if you've got a child who has special needs, who's autistic or is neurodivergent, or, you know, there are issues with your children that don't exist in every family, you would be better served to get a lawyer who is familiar with that you're not the first case that they've had to deal with this in. Or the other thing is, I happen to know some lawyers who that is their expertise, not divorce, but in dealing with special needs children and setting the special needs children up legally and financially for success as they age, right? Well, great. Maybe you need that lawyer on your team too, just for consultation of when you're dealing with, how do you deal with the finances when it comes to the children? How do you set the kids up so that you're not handicapping them when they're 18 years old, that now they can't get government benefits or they can't get into certain programs because you didn't set things up right in the beginning. So every single thing is important, and it's up to you as the person to say, okay, what's different about my divorce that from your standard run-of-the-mill divorce? What do I need that might, you know, require special expertise? And then finding the professional who's got that expertise to add to your team. That's the smart way to do things.
That's so great. So we have getting into the right mindset, getting prepared, creating your team so that your team can develop strategies for you collectively to optimize the outcome of your divorce.
Exactly. Although I would say that your team develops those strategies with you.
Yes.
You will do better in your divorce if you're involved. And I know, like, being the CEO of your divorce, that is not a job that anybody wants, right? Nobody signs up for that the day they get married. But to the extent that you are getting a divorce, the more you can be involved in the process, the better the outcome you're likely to have. Because like it or not, I don't care if you've got the best attorney since sliced bread, if you've got the best team all put together, I can guarantee you there is nobody in that room on your team who is going to care more about your life than you. And if they do, you've got a problem.
That's so true. You have to remember, at the end of the day, everybody goes home to their own lives. So you're the only one going home to your own life, and you have to live with the consequence behind. So I always say, financially speaking, good, better, and different. If you're in the know, you can deal with it. It's when you're not in the know that you have a very hard time dealing with it and moving on to your post-divorce life.
Yep, exactly.
So great. Wow, what a great conversation today. Erin, how can our listeners find you and learn more about you?
The best place to find me is on my website. It's Karen Covey, karencovy.com. There is no E in my version of Covey. I wish there was. That would, you know, make me related to somebody famous, but it's not true. So karencovy.com, people can find, you know, a lot of information, free resources, get access to everything. I also am on all the social channels. I have a podcast, a YouTube station, all the things, but the best place to find me is definitely my website.
Fantastic. So this concludes our discussion on how to divorce like a CEO, how to take charge to optimize the outcome of your divorce. Thank you again, Karen, for a great conversation.
It has been my pleasure. Thank you.
If you're considering divorce, make sure to protect your wealth with divorce financial planning from My Divorce Solution. Our certified divorce experts will help you untangle your finances and understand your settlement options so you can negotiate your marital assets with confidence. Protect your financial estate with divorce financial planning. Visit MyDivorceSolution.com to see if you qualify to work with our financial divorce experts. That's MyDivorceSolution.com for expert divorce financial planning. Thanks for joining us on another episode of We Chat Divorce. We hope this episode was informative and supportive on your divorce journey. If you're looking for more support for navigating divorce with confidence and clarity, head over to MyDivorceSolution.com for more podcast episodes, divorce events, and resources for your divorce. We'll see you back here for our next episode.